Hi, everybody. This is English Digest, and I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
It's such a pleasure to have you with us once again. And today, to begin the month of October here, we're going to talk about sunken treasure, another way to maybe get rich quick if you're thinking about doing that, although we're going to be talking about people who are exploring sunken ships, not necessarily to find the treasure there, but just to find those shipwrecks because it's historically significant.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this company, Odyssey Marine Exploration, on the news and thinking, wow, how fun to find these sunken ships in the sea and discover all of these coins, gold and silver. And if they find them, they usually get to keep them, although some of the countries have fought them in court because they'll say, well, you were in our waters. I guess treasure belongs to us. So it's kind of fun. They have found quite a few things, and it's a very exciting work.
Indeed. So we're talking about finding sunken treasure, valuable things that are sitting at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the entire content of today's lesson, and then we'll come back to talk about it.
A small submarine descends into the depths of the ocean amid colorful marine life with its lights darting around. But explorers in this vessel are not seeking rare animals. Instead, they're looking for sunken ships and treasure. Plunging to parts unknown in search of sunken treasure is big business for some private companies as they try to find valuable items believed to have been lost in shipwrecks. Odyssey Marine Exploration is perhaps the world's most prominent deep ocean shipwreck exploration company. The American firm has unearthed hundreds of sunken vessels, some of which are 2,300 years old. Yet the majority of its most publicized finds have been Civil War and colonial era ships that contain thousands of silver or gold coins. While exploring the ocean to find treasure might sound like a thrilling adventure, the legal side of shipwreck exploration is very murky. Depending on where ships are found and what kind of ships they are, various countries and groups are likely to argue about who has legal claim to the ships and whether Odyssey should have any of the treasure or not. Companies such as Odyssey have to traverse this legal minefield and come to agreements with countries. Some nations are fine with splitting the profits, while others perceive private companies to be no better than modern-day pirates. Despite the quarreling, many of the priceless treasures found eventually make their way into museums around the world for the public to admire. Suffice it to say that as long as there is a profit, Odyssey will continue to prowl the ocean floor looking for their next jackpot.
Okay, let's talk about finding sunken treasure. Sunken here is a word that describes something that is underwater and is no longer floating. So, of course, we refer to shipwrecks as being sunken in the water if they're at the bottom of the sea. I believe there's a sunken ship off the coast of Taidong there somewhere, a Japanese warship that was a torpedo during World War II. There might be all sorts of sunken ships around Taiwan because, you know, there have been lots of ships sailing around here for many centuries. But here, we're talking about finding sunken treasure, valuable things that are in boats that sank to the bottom of the sea.
Yeah, and long ago, they used to carry around lots of coins, gold coins, silver coins, as they went from one continent to another. So if you find an old ship, you're probably going to have a pretty good chance of finding some lost treasure.
Something interesting, at least. Well, we begin our lesson today by describing something that might be happening. A small submarine descends into the depths of the ocean amid colorful marine life with its lights darting around. So this is what you might see if you're hunting sunken treasure. It's a small submarine, which means it's a ship or a boat that can go under the water, a submarine. So this submarine here is descending into the ocean. To descend means to go down. That's the verb form. Descent is the noun form. So if you're flying on an airplane, the pilot might come on and say, ladies and gentlemen, we've begun our descent. In other words, we're starting to go down, getting ready to land.
Yeah, just recently this past summer, there was a Korean airliner that had trouble making its descent. They couldn't land properly, and a couple of people were killed, which was very sad. Well, if you're in the submarine, you're going to be amid or surrounded by colorful marine life, little fish, little animals there in the sea. And you're also going to have lights darting around. A submarine, of course, has very strong lights so that they can see what's happening under the sea. To dart is a verb we use to mean something's moving or running around very quickly. It's usually something where you find an animal that's trying to run for its life. I even think of little bugs like cockroaches. If you catch them, they will dart back and forth. They'll run from one direction to another, trying to escape your bug spray. That's what I use on cockroaches. Also, we use it to talk about someone's eyes. If their eyes are looking very quickly in lots of different directions, their eyes dart around.
Yes, to make quick, sudden movements, that's to dart around. The noun form dart refers to those things you throw if you're at a pub or a bar, having some games. You throw these little, I guess they're miniature little arrows, and you throw them at a target.
With a needle at the end.
With a needle at the end, mm-hmm. And those are called darts. Hey, let's have a game of darts. D-A-R-T-S, but here dart is the verb, and those lights are darting around as the submarine is descending into the deep parts of the ocean. But explorers in this vessel are not seeking rare animals. No, they're not at some coral reef going down there to take a look at the colorful fish. This is a type of vessel here. A vessel is any kind of a machine or boat that basically is out in the ocean. A vessel, a submarine is a vessel, a shipping container ship is a vessel as well.
Uh-huh. Well, they're also plunging to parts unknown. If you plunge, it means you fall or jump suddenly from a very high place. I know that there was an earthquake in San Francisco many years ago, and there were cars that were on a bridge when the earthquake struck, and some of those cars plunged off a bridge. If you go skydiving, where you jump out of an airplane with a parachute on your back, you're going to jump from the plane and plunge for a while before you open up the parachute to plunge.
Yes, to go or jump, dive, and quickly into water usually. So, yes, they're plunging to parts unknown. They're going to places that are deep in the ocean that nobody knows about. And they are in search of sunken treasure. That's big business for some private companies as they try to find valuable items believed to have been lost in shipwrecks. So that's what these private companies are doing. No, these submarines are not sponsored by governments. These are private companies that are designed to go down there and make a profit. And what they're trying to do is to try to find those shipwrecks. A shipwreck is a situation in which a ship has had problems. It could be something that sinks, a boat that sinks to the bottom of the ocean, but also it can involve ships that run aground on beaches and things like that. That's also a shipwreck. Basically, the destruction of a ship at sea if it's sunk or if it breaks up in a storm or runs aground.
Now, why are they plunging to parts unknown? Well, they're in search of sunken treasure. If you're in search of something, you're in the process of trying to find something that you can't put your hands on. You might be out there in search of a new job. You might be out there in search of a new boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or if you're shopping, you might be in search of some late trend, the latest style that you think is cool. Well, they were looking for sunken treasure, treasure that's in the bottom of these ships or boats that have gone to the bottom of the sea.
Let's talk about one such private company. It's called Odyssey Marine Exploration. Odyssey means a kind of a journey. It's from the original, what is it, a Greek poem, the Odyssey. And Odyssey Marine Exploration is perhaps the world's most prominent deep ocean shipwreck exploration company. Exploration just refers to when you're going out to explore things, to find out information about places that people haven't really gone to before.
Well, if you're considered prominent, prominent here is an adjective. It means that you're important or very well known. A lot of people know about this company. There are other exploration companies that look for shipwrecks, but this company is probably the biggest, most well known. So we're calling it prominent among the deep ocean shipwreck exploration companies out there in the world. This company happens to be an American firm, and it says here that they've unearthed thousands or hundreds, I should say, of sunken vessels. Thousands would be amazing. Mm. If you unearth something, it means you find something that was buried in the earth. But sometimes we'll use it more figuratively. Maybe your room's a mess, guys. You have lots of clothes on the floor that you need to wash. And you just can't find your keys. Maybe you finally find your keys under a pile of clothes. You had to unearth them from a pile of clothes. So sometimes we'll just use this verb to talk about finding something that was behind or below something quite a ways.
Yeah, so this usually is used when you dig things out of the ground because earth means dirt there. But if you're finding things at the bottom of the ocean, we don't really have a word for it. So here the writer is using the word unearth. They basically found these things at the bottom of the sea. Hundreds of sunken vessels, and some of those sunken ships or sunken vessels are 2,300 years old.
That's, or as I said it, 2,300 years old.
You can say it either way.
Yeah.
Okay, so some of those ships have been down there for thousands of years, yet still, the majority of its most publicized finds have been Civil War and colonial era ships that contained thousands of silver or gold coins. So even though some of those sunken ships are 2,300 years old, the majority of the ships they have found are from the Civil War, the American Civil War, which took place, what, in 1860, 61, 62, 63, somewhere in there. That's the American Civil War, about 150 years ago or so, give or take a few years. And publicized here just means this is what people know about. It's been published in newspapers or news reports, and these finds, well, they've let people know about this. So the majority, most of what they've found and let people know about are from the Civil War or the colonial era.
Notice here we're using find as a noun, not a verb. We will use it as a noun if you find something that's kind of cool, especially something that's kind of valuable or that you're really happy to discover. Maybe you've been shopping before at a night market and found something to buy that was really cool. You could tell your friend, wow, look at this find. I just bought it last night at the night market. Maybe you got a good price for it. Well, these are pretty cool finds because they've come up with not only some antiques, very old things from that historical ship, but also thousands of coins.
That's a lot. And we should cover this word colonial here, which is the adjective from the word colony, which refers to a period of history in which mostly European powers were going out into the world and taking over places in like Africa and Asia. The colonial era, which pretty much ended after World War II, and lots of ships were going around with those silver and gold coins, and so some of them got stuck in storms and sank, and so everybody wants to get those silver and gold coins and make a ton of money. Well, we'll continue talking about that in just a sec, and here's our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好, I'm Tim. 今天我们要讨论的课程是关于沉船的故事。 我们要跟大家介绍一间很特别的公司，它专门打捞世界各地的沉船，搜寻里面的财富。此外，还要跟大家介绍一些历史上特别有名的沉船。让我们看到第一段的第一句 ：A small submarine descends into the depths of the ocean, amid colorful marine life with its lights darting around. 一艘小型的潜水艇潜入深海里，光线在多彩的海洋生物中来回照射。 Descend 这个动词就代表下降、下来的意思。例如 ，The diver descended into the ocean to observe marine life， 表示这名潜水员潜到海里观察海洋生态。而 descend 的相反就是 ascend，A-S-C-E-N-D， 表示上升、攀登的意思。例如 ，The smoke from the chimney ascends into the air， 烟囱里的烟缓缓上升到空中。 而后面的另外一个动词 dart 就表示扫视的意思，这里是指灯光来回的扫射。然而，如果我们用来形容人的话，就表示某人的眼睛往旁边扫视，或者是偷瞄的意思。例如 ，Mary darted a glance at the boy sitting next to her， 表示 Mary 快速地瞄了一眼坐在她旁边的男生。 而 dart 这个字当名词就代表飞镖，例如 James is very good at darts， 就表示 James 非常会玩飞镖。接着看看本句的文法，后半部的 with its light darting around， with 加上名词再加上现在分词 darting around， 是用以表示附带说明，说明潜水艇的光线四处来回照射。这个句型的结构是在一个完整句子的后方加上 with 加上名词再加上现在分词表主动或者过去分词表被动，例如 The girl woke up with a happy song playing in her head， 表示这个小女孩醒来的时候脑海里回荡着快乐的歌声。后方的 with a happy song playing in her head 就是用来附带说明 The girl woke up 这件事。接着看到同一段第三句的地方， Plunging to parts unknown in search of sunken treasure is big business for some private companies as they try to find valuable items believed to have been lost in shipwrecks。 对某些私人的公司来说，投入到未知领域里去搜寻财宝是一件大生意，因为他们试图去搜寻那些被认为遗落在沉船中的珍贵物品。这边看到个生字 plunge，就表示跳入冲进的意思，例如 John plunged into the swimming pool without wearing a swimsuit， 表示 John 他跳进了泳池里但是没有穿泳衣。接着看到一个片语 in search of， 就表示搜寻寻找的意思，例如 Nancy looked everywhere in search of her lost kitten， 就表示 Nancy 四处寻找她走失的小猫。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to pick up where we left off. We've been talking about how these exploration groups, especially Odyssey Marine Exploration Company, search the bottom of the sea to find old shipwrecks. Ships that didn't make it, they're at the bottom of the sea, and they've actually had some really cool finds from Civil War and colonial era ships. And the thing that really usually gets the most attention is the amount of money or treasure that they find, because everybody's wanting to find lost treasure.
Absolutely. And while exploring the ocean to find treasure might sound like a thrilling adventure, the legal side of shipwreck exploration is very murky. So here, while even though it's true that exploring the ocean might be very thrilling, still you might have some problems with the law. The legal side is kind of murky here. Let's first of all talk about the word thrilling here. Something's thrilling when it gives you a sudden feeling of excitement and pleasure. For example, riding on a roller coaster can be very thrilling, or jumping out of an airplane and going skydiving can be very thrilling.
Now, if you're saying something is murky, sometimes we use it to talk about ocean water or lake water that's not clear. Ooh, that water's kind of murky. It's not easy to see through it. Here, it just means something isn't very clear. Maybe it involves some dishonest activities, some activities that are kind of illegal. So if you meet someone and they don't really tell you enough about their background, they seem to be hiding something, you might say, well, you know, his background seems a little murky to me. You're not really clear what's been going on. Well, we're not really sure if it's legal to go down and get this lost treasure if those boats are found near other countries besides America. Remember, this is an American company. They find a ship that's been at the bottom of the sea near Taiwan. Who owns that stuff? Is it Taiwan or this company?
Yeah, it kind of depends on where the ships are found and what kind of ships they are. And so various countries will likely argue about who has that legal claim to the ships. Hey, that's our ship. No, it's ours. Like Titanic, for example. That was a British company, you know. So If they find Titanic, they're thinking, well, this belongs to the United Kingdom because it's our ship. But then the Americans might say, well, we found it, you know. And it's maybe the Canadians would come in and say, well, you know, it's actually sunk very close to Canada. That's the closest country. So it belongs to us. So they might argue about who has that legal claim. And then this company, Odyssey, needs to figure out if they have any claim to the treasure or not. So, yeah, we found it, but does that mean it belongs to us? And nobody really knows because there isn't much precedent with these sorts of things.
If it didn't have any coins or there wasn't a lot of treasure aboard those sunken ships, no one would be fighting over it. But when money is involved, everybody wants a piece of the action. Now, companies like Odyssey have to traverse this legal minefield and have to come to agreements with countries. Traverse, you don't see very often, but we do use it. It just means to move across an area. It's pretty formal. You'll see it in writing. I typically don't hear people say it when they're speaking. You might say, oh, we've got all these ships traversing the ocean. Now, a minefield. Let's break this word up. Mine is sort of like a very small bomb. And in wars, what they'll do is they'll plant these little mines in fields where the enemy soldiers will be. And they're hoping the enemy soldiers will step on the mines and be blown up. So a minefield can be very dangerous. We're not talking about a real minefield here. We're talking about it in a figurative way. It just means a place that has a lot of dangers or risks.
Especially hidden dangers and hidden risks because you don't know where those mines are going to be. So you need to traverse it or get over it or go through that minefield and maybe come to some agreements with countries. Now, such nations, these kinds of countries, are fine with splitting the profits. That seems fair. If everybody claims it, then, well, let's just split it, you know, 50-50 or 33-33-33 or, you know, 20-20-20-20 or whatever. Everybody gets a different percentage. They're going to split the profit. So to split something means to divide it into smaller parts.
That's one solution. While other people perceive that private companies are no better than modern-day pirates. To perceive something means you understand it in a particular way. And here we're kind of using this verb to mean you have an opinion. Well, some people think, well, these private companies are just like pirates. Pirates are from a long time ago, actually, although we still have pirates today. They were people who sailed on ships and they would attack other ships and steal everything from them. So that's how they made their living. They were criminals, you could say. So they're calling these companies that try to find sunken ships modern-day pirates. Like, they shouldn't be doing this. They're stealing other people's things.
That's what some people think. And despite the quarreling, many of the priceless treasures found eventually make their way into museums around the world for the public to admire. For example, there was a couple months ago the Artifacts exhibition at the Science Education Center here in Taipei.
Oh.
Artifacts from Titanic. So they do get into museums around the world.
Cool.
Quarreling here means people are arguing, they're bickering over different things. If something's priceless, that means it's so valuable it's hard to put a price on it. Oh, this Picasso painting is priceless. It's so expensive that nobody knows how to put a number on this, on the price.
Sometimes you just can't price something. You can't put a value on it because it's invaluable, which means it's priceless. So they're arguing about this stuff because some of the treasures they find are priceless. Anything that's from a different era in time is considered to be very valuable. So I can see how some of these folks are saying, hey, these are priceless treasures. Well, sometimes they eventually, or after a while, make their way into museums. And that's a good thing for all of us because most of us like to go to museums to admire priceless objects and priceless treasures. If you admire something, you look at it because you enjoy it and you think it's beautiful.
You can admire someone's courage, for example. Well, suffice it to say that so long as there is a profit, Odyssey will continue to prowl the ocean floor looking for their next jackpot. Suffice it to say, that just means it's enough to say this. As long as you can make a profit, then this company will go out there prowling the ocean floor To prowl usually refers to an animal, especially when it's kind of moving around slowly and quietly, trying to find another animal to kill.
I wanted to mention that you'll often see suffice to say. Sometimes people will leave out the it. So suffice it to say or suffice to say. You don't necessarily need to use that in there, but you can add that. I could say, hey, first of all, this morning my car wouldn't start. Then I got stuck in traffic. Suffice it to say, there was no way I could get to work on time.
You had to walk, huh?
Yeah, so it's like saying, I don't even need to give you this following statement because it's obvious from what I've already told you. So there is a very big profit out there, and as long as people can get some money, they're going to keep looking for their next jackpot. A jackpot's a really large amount of money. Usually we talk about it, a jackpot when we're gambling or we win the lottery, you win the jackpot. But here it's just some really good luck in finding things.
We often say hit the jackpot, and that's what lots of people want to do, especially when they buy lottery tickets. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson. It's time now to listen once again to our Chinese teacher.
好，我们接着看到第二段的第一句。While exploring the ocean to find treasure might sound like a thrilling adventure, the legal side of shipwreck exploration is very murky.
尽管探索海洋、搜寻宝藏听起来是很刺激的冒险，不过勘察失事船只的行动在法律的定义却相当的模糊。这边我们看到的形容词 thrilling 就表示紧张、刺激的或者令人兴奋的。例如 ，The thrilling film is filled with lots of action scenes， 这表示这部刺激的电影充满了很多的动作场景。接着我们看到后面的另外一个字 murky。就表示模糊的、不清楚的。这个字我们可以用来形容一件事情，例如 ，The woman had a murky past， 就表示这名的女子的背景令人猜不透。或者我们可以用来形容物品，例如 ，The lake is murky， 就表示湖水相当的浑浊。接着看到第二段的第三句 ，Companies such as Odyssey have to traverse the legal minefield。And come to agreements with countries. 奥德赛这类的公司必须要越过法律的危险地带，并且与各国达成协议。Traverse 这个动词就代表横越。例如 ，We traverse the jungle in a truck， 就代表我们用卡车横越丛林。而后面的另外一个字 minefield，mine 就表示地雷，而 minefield 就表示地雷区。然而这边并不是代表真正的地雷区。而是用来表示危机四伏的局势。接着看到这一段的最后一句 ，Suffice it to say that as long as there is a profit, Odyssey will continue to prowl the ocean floor looking for their next jackpot。简单来说，只要有利益，奥德赛公司就会持续潜入海底寻找他们的下一个大奖。Suffice it to say that 就代表只要说什么就够了，无需多说。我们可以用 suffice to say 来代表。举例来说 ，suffice it to say that your comment doesn't mean anything。简单的说，你的评论并没有任何的意义。
We're out of time, guys. Thanks for joining us. Come back for day two of our discussion about finding these sunken treasures. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.